Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Praise the Lord for another opportunity to be in church. God's established His church, and if you're saved, you understand the importance of it more so than anyone else. You realize that every opportunity we have to assemble ourselves together, it's a place of refuge. It's just a place we can come to find help, encouragement, strength, the presence of God, all the things that God has for us. It's the church house. What a blessing it is to be able to have the church. And God knew that during this New Testament church age, it was a time that He would establish His church for the remainder of this world. And the end of this church age is when the end of the world begins and all the tribulations and everything else that's going to take place. And so in order to keep the church going as God wants it to go, then He has given us some orders. He's given us some things that we need to continue doing in order to keep the storehouse, which is the local New Testament church, strong. And because of that, that's why as a church we have to have a budget meeting once a year. And the budget meeting is to be able to establish a budget for the upcoming year, and we always do that in the month of December, as the budget will run from the 1st of January to the 1st of January, so one full year for each one for the budget. And so we have to get that in. I was looking at this December, and of course with our 35th wedding anniversary, I was going to be gone one Wednesday, only one. It seems like I've been gone more than that, I know, but it's only gone one Wednesday night. And yet there's so many other things going on Wednesday nights. As we're looking ahead, we have Christmas Eve next Wednesday, and then we have New Year's Eve the following Wednesday. And before I left, we started our series on the book of Noah, and what a the Bible character Noah, rather, in the book of Genesis, and what a great series that is. I got excited about teaching the first message in that, and it's going to be a few weeks before we get back into that. And so just a lot going on. And so tonight is the night. Tonight is the night to be able to, and it's the budget meeting doesn't have to be a bad thing. There's biblical principles that all of us need to follow in order to have God's blessings upon not only His church, but on our own finances, our own lives. And so these biblical principles hold as true to our individual lives as it does to what God has established for the church. And so I trust tonight as we go over some of these things, it's going to help each one of us to just be strengthened with biblical principles concerning our own handling of our finances. And so Malachi chapter 3, a great passage of Scripture that God has given to us, the very last book of the Old Testament, but yet I believe it's the first message to the New Testament. The first message to the New Testament, and we're going to show you why I believe that in just a few minutes here. The Malachi chapter 3, if you'll stand with me, we're going to read chapter 3, verse 7 down to verse 12. I believe this is the message in the book of Malachi that he has for the New Testament church, a storehouse in the New Testament. Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. The Bible says, "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances." Going away from what God has established. If you're going to worship Him and have His blessings, there's a certain lifestyle that He commands that we live. So He said, "And telling Israel, you've gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Father, we do love you and we do bow before you once again tonight. Thank you for the privilege it is to assemble ourselves together. And even the greater privilege is to come into your presence. And thank you for your presence here tonight. And what we've already experienced and the blessings of just being in church. God, as we have some business to take care of tonight with the budget meeting, we first of all want to study your word to understand why we have it. And why we do what we do even with the finances of the church. And I just pray, God, that you would just meet with us. And God, just give each and everyone here that spiritual insight into whatever they have need to receive this evening. Bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So Malachi was a prophet to the children of God after captivity. They went into captivity because they rebelled against God. They were not doing what he said to do. And so after captivity now, God sends his prophets and he starts telling them, you found out that I will judge sin. And now you need to start getting your lives aligned with my will for your life so that you might position yourself for my blessings. And basically after the captivity, that was the message that God was given to the nation of Israel. In the books of the prophecies that we have in our Bible here. But he addresses the sins of Israel, and verse 7, he reveals that, and even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from my ordinances. And so he says, now return unto me. As he was addressing the sins of Israel, this is after the captivity. He was also, and I believe in the book of Malachi right here, it was addressing the future children of God, the future church for this New Testament church age. Now, we believe that because in chapter 3 as well, in verse 1, he's referring to the prophecies of John the Baptist coming. And we just did a series on the character of John the Baptist. And here it says in chapter 3 and verse 1, right before he gives this challenge to the church, he says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, before God. Now we know that that messenger would have been John the Baptist, and we know that me as being God would have been the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think most everyone here tonight would understand that, that to have Bible understanding. He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And so the promise of the coming of the Messiah. And with Jesus coming, we know that he would usher in the New Testament church. And it would begin with John the Baptist. We just had a series again on that. But the birth of Christ, as we're getting ready to celebrate here, a day that Jesus Christ was born. And the Old Testament prophecies being fulfilled, the New Testament church age getting ready to open up. And so we find this in the book of Malachi. This is a prophecies concerning John the Baptist coming and the New Testament church being established and God's people getting to the place of serving him and doing what God would have them to do. As we look to the end of this chapter, in chapter 3, in the end of the book of Malachi here, chapter 3, verses 16 and 18, it also refers to the body of Christ, which would be the church. When he says this, he says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Those that are going to look to him and serve him and do what God says to do, he says, they're going to be my jewels. And these are the ones that are going to have the blessings of God. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And so we find here again, he's addressing those in the New Testament church age, those that are going to look to and believe in God and then establish their lives and base their lives upon the reality of the presence of God. And if you're going to do that, then you're going to find the church that God has for you to be a part of, because this is what Jesus came to establish. and the New Testament church age. And so all this is referring to the New Testament church. The message, again, I believe one of the first messages that we have in the New Testament for the New Testament church is found there in verse 7 through 12, a message to the church. And he asked the church, as he would address them, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? You believe in God. You know that God is real. You know that his word is real. If you know that, would you rob the one that you're dependent upon? The one who can do everything and anything for you that needs to be done? Is he the one that you really want to rob? And the answer, of course, should have been no. But then he says, ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? How? We know better than to rob God. And he says, in your tithes and offerings. Doing what God would have you to do. Living as to serve the Lord. And to serve the Lord, you have to acknowledge God, first of all. And as you acknowledge God, then you acknowledge his ownership of your life. And he becomes Lord of your life. And as Lord, you're looking to him for directions. You're looking for him for his will for your life. And what would you have me to do? Lord, here am I. Send me. Not my will, but thy will be done. And so we find this, and he says to them, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And the storehouse, no doubt about it, in the New Testament, this is the New Testament church. This is what Jesus Christ established as the church. It's the storehouse. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. That means that there might be substance in the house to where we will be able to do the work that God has called the church to do. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. So we find the storehouse is the local New Testament church. I believe that God blesses his people so that in return, his people can be a blessing to his church. Because without people, you don't have a church. The church is made up of the born-again believers that God has called out and assembled together to do the work that he's called them to do. And so the church is about the membership. That's the people. And so as God has brought the people here, God knows what it's going to take for every church to be productive, for every church to have the wherewithal to be able to accomplish what God has for them to accomplish. And in doing that, God will bless the membership and send them to the church so that their talents and the blessings that God has given to them, they can be good stewards and in return use that to be a blessing to God's church. And as they're looking to be a blessing to God's church and the storehouse is strong and the storehouse is able to do what God wants them to do. And so God is blessing his plan. Can I tell you there's much for the church to do today? There has never been a greater need for the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to be shining. I mean, even America, my goodness. Just when you think it can't get any worse, it gets worse. And the laws that they're thinking about passing and some of what's accepted in society today. And of course, I mean, you get out of the United States and you, even on our vacation time, you get out there and you just realize, wow, people don't even acknowledge God. And they're living, and all they're wanting to do, all they're thinking about doing is drinking and doing this and doing that, and no acknowledgement of God in their lives. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, I think he helps us to understand the importance of the church. In 1 Timothy, and you know the verse very well, but of course he gives the qualifications for the leadership of the church. But in verse 15 he says this, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. Now, he said, this is my house. This is what Jesus established. It's a storehouse. And he's the owner of it. He is the authority of his church. But this is what he says about it. It's the house of God. It's my house, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. If you get rid of the pillars, can I tell you, the building will collapse. If you get rid of the church, then the world is based upon the lies of the devil, and they do not have truth. The church is what God has used to be able to present his truth to the world. Israel in the Old Testament, God used them to present God's truth of who God is to the world. And their lifestyle and everything about Israel, they were a representation of God. They were God's children. And ever since that, in the New Testament, the church has been the light of God. The church has represented God. It is the truth. No matter what philosophies, and in every generation, there's been a different philosophy about what's this and what's truth and what is truth, where we came from, what is morality, all the different things. But the one thing that has stayed the same is the Bible. Because it's truth, and truth never changes. So we look here that the Bible says that it's the church that is a pillar. And if Satan is real, and we know that he is, if he wants to blind people to the truth, then he's going to have to take the pillars away. Because if you take the pillar away, the truth will dissolve. It'll fall. The church is what keeps the truth. And that's why Jesus says, my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, because I have a purpose for it. It'll always be there. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word shall not pass away. There will always be a remnant of the truth. Amen. And there has been. As we look back over the history of the church and the truth, the same truth, the truth of salvation, the truth of what the church is and how it's supposed to be duly run, how it's to be organized, that has not deviated. The Bible's... What the Bible reveals about the truth concerning the church and salvation and the church itself and being the lighthouse and what it's supposed to do has not changed. Now, churches are changing. And as they're changing, we're finding that the pillars are starting to crumble. And the truth is not exalted like it once was when the church is strong. The stronger the church, the stronger the truth. More evident the truth. So the pillar and the ground of the truth is the church. All to help us all to understand the importance of the church. And want to do everything we can to keep the church strong. That's why Jude writes, contend for the faith. Earnestly, contend for the faith. There's no better way for you to contend for the faith than to keep the storehouse strong. Keep the church moving forward. And to use whatever talents and abilities and gifts that God's given to me, he gives them to you first and foremost to be used in his work. God blesses you financially so you are able to take care of your family, so that you're able to provide. Is God helping you and providing that? It's God blesses you so that you can help to provide for the church, so the church can remain strong. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 to 20, we find the Great Commission. That's still what God would have us to do, the church to do today. What is that? Go into all the world. Teach the gospel. Teach all people. Teach all nations the truth about salvation. That's what has been passed down for 2,000 years now. The truth that has been passed on down is the truth that the Bible's God's word. Salvation, and he has established the church. Those are the main pillars of the light. And so we're to go out and teach all nations. We would take this truth to all people around the world. And after we see that they're saved by understanding what it takes to be saved, help them to understand the importance of the church, because that's what the next step is, to get them baptized. Outside the church, there's not a place for them to be baptized. There's not an authority that has been established to baptize them. Jesus established his church and gave it the authority to baptize believers. Why? Because of the need of the church. So that there would never be a question whether or not there needs to be a church. And if there's never a question that there needs to be a church, there should never be a question as to your part in a local New Testament church. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to, and that's how it's going to be broken down, those that are going to serve him and those that are not going to serve him. And if you're going to serve him, it has to be attached to his plan, and his plan is through the church. Wow. So baptism through the church. Lord's Supper through the church. Discipleship is through the church. That's why we have Sunday school. Now, you'll not find Sunday school in the Bible. You'll not find a lot, but it's discipling. And what the church has done for these last 2,000 years, and for the time when the church is growing strong, how do we disciple? And praise the Lord, through Sunday school, through morning worship, through evening worship, through Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time. These are all opportunities, and they have proven to work. To do what? To disciple. Don't change it. Amen. If it's not broke, don't change it. Don't fix it. Just get behind it. Promote it. Do everything you can to make sure that it continues. It's been proven that a midweek service is a blessing in discipleship. It's been proving that Sunday school is a blessing to picking up children and having Sunday school classes to be able to help them to be taught the things of God. Making Sunday the Lord's Day all day it's been proven that's a blessing. That's how God has worked in this New Testament church, especially in America. More than time has changed, but in America, especially over the last couple hundred years, the church. Wow. In order for that to continue, it'll take the tithe and offerings of God's people. We're not ever going to be reliant upon the government. Amen. We're not going to be reliant upon the lost. That's not God's plan. If you're lost, God has no expectations to you for tithing to his church. But if you're saved, God has every expectation of you as a born-again believer, to supporting his church. Leviticus 27:30 says, "The tithe of the Lord, it is holy unto the Lord." It's holy to God. And very important to God. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10, it tells us to honor the Lord with the first fruits. It honors God. It's very important to God, that his tithe, and it's holy unto God. That's why you say, will a man rob God when understanding how holy it is? Will a man rob God understanding how that God uses it for us to honor him? To acknowledge his ownership of our lives? Will a man rob God when you know that God says, it's how you honor me? I think not. Not if you want God's blessings. 10% is established as a tithe. No question about it. If you know the Bible, if you're any kind of a Bible scholar, if you've done any study, you understand God's established that from the very early part in the book of Genesis. 10% is a tithe. That's God's. The offering is as God has prospered us. Offering is between something that's missions, and you pray about that. And whatever God puts on your heart to give to missions in order to do that, then that's offerings. And in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, 7, 8 reveals a lot of that. That's talking about faith promise offerings. But if you look over to 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, and not going to be much longer here, but these are truths. I mean, sometimes Satan blinds us to the need to do what God says to do and put your faith and trust in him. Some people might say, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe if you're saved. Because it's a way to honor God. If you're going to look for help, how can you look to God for help if you're not honoring Him? If you're not taking that which God says is holy serious? In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, for His children, for the saved, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia." Every church has been established. I've already given orders here. "Even so do ye." And He's telling this to the church at Corinth. It's for all the churches of the church age. "Upon the first day of the week." What day is that? That's Sunday. Amen. That's the Lord's day. That's Resurrection Day. "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Just every week bring it. That's what He says. Every time you assemble yourselves together, bring the blessings of God to be a blessing to God and His church. Lay it aside every week. He tells them in the book of Proverbs, He says, "Prove me." Now, some people have this, "Well, I'm just going to test it. I'm going to tithe this week, and if everything doesn't clear up this next, the week after that, I'm not going to do it anymore." Now, that doesn't show faith. That's doing something foolish and tempting God. And God is not to be tempted. God is to be served. When you know it's what God would have you do, you just do it. By faith, you just do it. Because of that, there's two principles in honoring God with our finances. Two biblical principles. And one is found in 1 Corinthians 14:40. "Let all things be done decently and in order." And then the second is found in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, in being found a faithful steward. Managing money is being a faithful steward. Managing money is a vital part of the Christian life. It begins, first of all, with the church. And that's why we have a budget night. Now, with that said, I want to go ahead and have the guys pass out a budget sheet to everyone that's here that would like to have one. Really, it's just a budget sheet if you want to share one between family members, anyone 16 years of age and older as a member of the church is able to vote at our business meetings. But these are two biblical principles. And I think our budget meeting that we have once a year, everything we do is based on these two biblical principles. There's a reason why we do what we do. The reasons why we do what we do has got to be based upon what God says to do, on the Word of God. And we're going through a series on that on Sunday nights, and we'll be picking that up here in another week or so and continuing with that. That's a budget. That's the current budget that we have right now that we're going off of. If you don't have one, if you'd like to have one, if you'd raise your hand, they'll get those to you there. If you'd like to have a budget. "Let all things be done decently and in order." God is a God of order. I mean, you can find that. I mean, if you go back and read God's instructions on the tabernacle, my goodness, I mean, every minute detail is described. And that's because He wanted us to know that He's a God of order. He is very much interested in the everyday affairs of the lives of His children. He is very much aware of every minute of every day. He's very much aware of everything that we do. And God cares. And so you go back and you read some of those Old Testament passages, and it's going through all the different things about how everything was supposed to be done this way, that way. And it's just to help us to understand God, everything God does, He has a design. And He does everything decently and in order. And so, first and foremost, then, explain how we handle monies. There's so many churches that Satan has used finances to destroy the churches. and misappropriation of God's funds coming in and all the different things. And there's ministries out there, so-called ministries out there that will try to get you to send your monies to them, and they'll put all these pitiful children on their pages and websites. And if you're not careful, if you don't understand the Bible, then you'll be given part of your monies to all these different places. And can I tell you that what we need to do is focus on God and focus on the fact that Jesus established the church, and the church is the pillar of the truth. And so I've got to make sure that I'm doing what God would have me to do, because God wants the church to stand strong, the storehouse to be strong, and the church can help me to make sure that I'm not throwing my money away. I'm giving to God as God would have me to give to Him. So money is handled. How's it handled? Well, can I tell you that God brings in all the monies to the church? We don't have bake sales for the church. We don't look for government grants. We don't look for any other way to support the church but through tithes and offerings. I'm sure glad I did not have to come up with that design. Because the only way it works is that there is a God. And that God puts it in your heart. And you understand what God says and how that it's holy unto God, and how that it's a way of honoring God. And the Holy Spirit of God inside of you says, this is the right thing to do. This is God's will for your life. And prove God, do it God's way, and see if God does not work in your life in such a way that the windows of heaven are opened. You cannot give God as long as you're giving as God would have you to give. Don't give as man would have you to give, but give as God would have you to give. So God brings it in. We tithe to God. You bring it to the storehouse. You don't tithe to the pastor. You don't tithe to this congregation. You tithe to God. It's His. And so as you tithe to God, you take it where He tells you to take it, to the storehouse, to the church that He's planted you in. Amen? So we find here that first and foremost, God brings it in. We receive it and look to Him to know how to manage it, because we need to be good, faithful servants, stewards. Okay, so individually, you realize if you're working for a company, God is using that company, but God's the one that brings in your finances. God's the one that gives you health and abilities to be able to do what you do, to make the monies that you make. God's the one that keeps the doors open to that facility that you work at. Amen. God's the one that if that place shuts down, He'll open a door to somewhere else that you might not even know exists. So you need to stop looking to a company or to individuals or to a government for handouts and look to God to supply your need. God brings it in. God brings it in your life. That's how we look at it. It's how I need to view my work. God's bringing it in. All we have to do is once we bring it in, whatever it is, be faithful stewards. Do with it what God would have us to do with it. We receive it as a church. We look to God to know how to manage it, because we will give an account for that.